It's the Deucecast. Welcome to the Deucecast, episode 18, the podcast Towers. Streaming to you live on Ustream and on Stitcher and available on iTunes from here at the Deucecast Studios. I am one of your three favorite hosts of the Deucecast. My name is Dave, and right over here to my left is Mikey. Say hey, Mikey.
Snarf, snarf.
And up in the Noog, somewhere up there, that's going to be Matt. What's going on, Matt?
Auga.
I don't know.
And also in the studio, of course, we got producer Tommy over there kicking the big mouse rhythms going on with the computer. I don't know what that means. And of course, Sean, right across the table from me.
Hello.
Sean, of course, it is hard out here for a pimp. Episode 18 looks to be one of the best shows we have ever done. Mike is bringing us some new music, and he hasn't told us what it is, so it will be a great surprise.
Actually, whatever. I did. You just weren't listening.
I wasn't paying attention to you.
Okay.
Matt's going to be feeding us some potluck. I got a great buried treasure for you. And we'll be playing a great little game we simply call the movie game. But first up, let's talk about our week. Matt, how was your week, man?
It was good, mostly. As some of you guys know, I am actually playing Mr. Mom right now. I'm keeping our daughter during the day while Stephanie works, and I'm, you know, working it as a part-time worship leader. And it has been really mostly awesome. It's a little bit harrowing at first, but Nora's been a great baby. One really cool thing of the week, yesterday we fixed the starter in my Jetta. Bad thing of the week is we weren't able to fix the AC.
Oh,
so it
bummer,
starts
dude.
Up like a champ. Stephanie tonight, she drove it. She drove it to like she works like 2 minutes from our house, so it's like literally she barely has to like start the car and go there. So she's you know using that car to drive to work, and so she was like this today. She was like, "Man, it's the Jet is just like a new car," and I was like, "Yeah, a really freaking hot new car." But yeah, that's the only really bad thing. I've got to watch several movies, actually went through some of my favorites, and just kind of check them out for after a long time. Watched The Last Samurai. Hadn't watched that in a long time.
Good film.
Yeah, it's a great, great movie. Great to catch up on. Also, and this might cause some, stirrings out in the Twitterverse.
Stir of echoes.
Who knows? Okay. Maybe somebody will find a corpse buried in the in my house, but hopefully not. I watched the Dark Knight.
Oh.
And you know what? I don't
that
like watching
it. Stirs my bowels a bit.
I don't like watching it that much. It's so intense and dark. Like I don't really enjoy. I don't have fun watching it. Do any of you guys agree with me? Have you guys tried to watch it recently?
That is a movie that I really appreciate and I really like, but it's not one that I can just turn on and watch over and over. It's a great film, and I can't sit here and say it's one of my favorite films because I watch my favorite films over and over and over. The Dark Knight I can watch every now and then, but you're right, it is very intense and very moody and very dark and just, I don't know.
On the flip side, I could easily say Batman Begins is one of my favorites.
Batman Begins is a good movie.
Yeah. But the thing is, I like Dark Knight a lot. And like you said, I really appreciate it. But as far as turning it on and replaying it over and over, man, just the Joker stuff is so stinking intense.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's just sort of like, look, I'd rather just pop in like the Smurfs. Or no,
ooh,
I'm just
no,
kidding.
No,
it would
no.
not be the Smurfs. You know what I mean? I'd rather pop in something like fun, you know, like
right.
Like Equilibrium that I'm watching right now, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, like Zookeeper or
joke.
Something with
Zookeeper.
Kevin James.
I'm hopefully going to see that this weekend.
That's a joke as well.
I was just kidding.
I don't hate Kevin James, but I'm not Michael's level of hatred. But
I don't know, dude. I actually watched an episode of King of Queens just because there was nothing else on. And I laughed a couple times. It was
wow.
Yeah,
that's a breakthrough.
That's a great show. He's married to Stacey Carosi from Saved by the Bell. So it's a good show. Yeah.
Is that really on the show?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Why
not
Stacey Carosi.
Right.
Yeah.
What's that chick's real name?
Leah Remini. But really, it's Stacey Carosi.
Is she on the talk?
She's on the talk or the chat
or
the view chat.
The gab.
Is she on that?
So that's that would be our talk show. Yes.
Exactly.
The crap is what I call it.
You're just taking your weekly dump.
The feces is what I call it. Okay, that's my week, guys.
That's awesome.
Who's next?
Well, I had a pretty cool week, as always. I mean, there's not any week that's overly horrible in my life. I mean, no one can really complain. I mean, we're doing a podcast, so how can we really
first world problems
complain? Exactly. But for real, the highlight for me this week is Harrison Ford in general. He, this past week, was all over the place on different talk shows and stuff. And he is hilarious when he wants to be. And so he did this skit on Jimmy Kimmel that was amazing. He was basically getting his makeup done, and Chewbacca walks in the background, and Harrison Ford turns around and starts arguing with Chewbacca and telling him to leave, and that that my favorite part is where he was like, "It was my wife, and she still tastes hair." And so, yeah, that was was pretty awesome. And then the makeup guy was in the corner, like rocking and rubbing his eyes and his ears, like it's really, really bad. So that
like
was
mommy
really,
and daddy having
yeah,
a fight.
Like, yeah, exactly. And then the other, he had an appearance on Conan where he was talking about how his kid went and paid money to go see the Smurfs, but got into free for Cowboys and Aliens since his dad was in it. And Conan was just ragging him about that. And Conan, at the end of the interview, handed him a Papa Smurf stuffed animal. And Conan was like, "What would you want to do to this Papa Smurf stuffed animal?" And Harrison Ford just ripped its head off right there. It was really funny. And then the one thing that I liked about Cowboys and Aliens, which there wasn't much to like, but I really did enjoy Harrison Ford's performance. I thought that, as most of the critics had been saying, he did have that twinkle back in his eyes. I thought he was really good, but again, I'm a Harrison Ford fanatic, and so it's hard for me to talk bad about the man. I mean, in real life, he is quite a curmudgeon, but lately he has been pretty funny. So Cowboys and Aliens in general, though, was probably my uncool thing of the week. I wanted it to be so good just because I love Jon Favreau. I want him to be successful in something other than Iron Man and stuff like that, and something other than the kids' movies that he's done, which I love the kids' movies he's done, but I don't know. I just think, you know, Iron Man had a built-in fan base. Cowboys and Aliens probably had somewhat of a built-in fan base because it was a comic book also, but it just was not there for me. I just didn't dig it as much as I really wanted it to. And it's not like Daniel Craig did bad, and Olivia Wilde was fine. I mean, and it had a good supporting cast. So, I mean,
Sam Rockwell was in it.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Rockwell was in it. Walton Goggins was in it. I mean, it had a good supporting cast, but it just did not do it for
not
me.
Yeah, my opinion is that the supporting cast was really good.
Yeah.
The weakest point to me, besides the actual kind of alien fight, had like there's no urgency or you kind of, I don't know, I didn't want anything like while I was watching, you know. But I felt like Daniel Craig's accent was awful.
Yeah, he tried.
He's like a Yankee
hard
accent in the Old West.
Yeah.
It's because he's just like, I don't know. I thought that was kind of weak. And he didn't even look like a cowboy with that hat.
No.
You know what I mean? It was kind of like
with it pulled down over his head, sort of. The Apple Dumpling Gang sort of look. I mean, it was sort of just like.
Exactly. It was just like the Apple Dumpling Gang. I think that's all he watched in preparation. He talked about having watched like every West. I bet he just watched the Apple Dumpling Gang and the sequel. And that's
he talked about like playing Red Dead Redemption and stuff and wanting his character to be like that guy, but nothing like it. I mean,
absolutely not.
But it did get me to go watch Defiance finally on Netflix stream, and that was actually
a great movie,
really, really good movie. First time I'd seen it. You know, the subject matter is pretty heavy, but it was still really, really good. I loved it. Liev Schreiber was probably the best part of that movie for
me. It's no Robot Jocks, but I mean,
well,
it's
of
pretty,
course not.
Well, I mean, what is intense, really?
And then
nothing.
I also
That's
took some time and watched Winter's Bone as well just last night. And I had talked pretty bad about Jennifer Lawrence. I had talked bad about Jennifer Lawrence.
You said Winter
as Mystique. But she was okay, and I can see why she got the Academy Award nomination for Winter's Bone. So it was super depressing, super, super depressing, but overall it was an okay movie. Dave, what about you? How was your week, buddy?
Week was pretty good. I did watch, like yourself, Matt, I watched a bunch of movies. I watched the original Clint Eastwood classic, A Fistful of Dollars, for the first time. A little overrated, a little long for that kind of movie. I watched Dinner for Schmucks with Paul Rudd. Not a good film at all. I did not like it. I mean,
Didn't it have its moments, though?
I mean, it had its moments. I laughed here and there, but just overall, I was kind of like, ugh, not a good movie.
I totally agree.
Chinatown with Jack Nicholson. Again, a little overrated. I think it's been more romanticized by how good that film is than the actual film itself. I actually found myself kind of bored here and there.
Dude. It's an American treasure.
I've actually got Gene Hackman's The Conversation DVR at home, so I'm going to watch that sometime this week. Lifetime's Magic Beyond Words, the J.K. Rowling story, starring Poppy Montgomery. Also a little bit cheesy.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, I watched that this week.
The J.K. Rowling story?
J.K. Rowling story. The writer of Harry Potter.
Joe Rowling.
Yeah, well, Joanne Rowling, actually. But
Joe Rogan?
She went with J.K. Rowling because they felt like children's authors who were women didn't sell very well, so she went with the initials. But no, it was a little cheesy, but
it was on Lifetime, yeah. Dude. What do you expect?
Well, that's not
the like
point.
The Mary Kay story. I mean, come on.
That is coming on next week. I've got a DVR.
Anyway, sure you do.
So, I mean, I watched a bunch of movies, and we also, of course, probably the uncool of the week is what we had to pay for our baby furniture. We finally bought a crib this week and a dresser.
Was that you that bought it through Amazon?
No,
that was
somebody
one of my
bought
buddies.
Some furniture
that was one
through
of my buddies,
Amazon?
Yeah.
Dude, we got paid from that, buddy.
We're all rich now?
Dude, I mean,
that's awesome.
Like 10 bucks per piece of furniture. It was awesome. I'm actually going to get paid a little bit.
No, we're sitting there. We actually went to a place over in Vestavia that I'm not going to mention, Storkland, that I had to go in there. My lovely wife, Stephanie, brought me in there. She's like, I want you to see the stuff we're buying, which didn't matter because she's going to buy it regardless of whether I see it or not. And we bought the crib, and the crib was there, and it's going to fold out into like an actual big bed when the kid gets older. And so it costs, you know, several hundred dollars. And it has rails that go with it that you can, you know, use it for the extra bed. And of course, you have to pay extra.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of course you do.
And
of
as
course,
I sat in one of the gliders
like upsizing,
that we were
basically.
Purchasing, she told me we had to pay for the rails. It was like $160. And I was like, this is a racket.
Well,
this is a total racket.
Welcome to the world of babies.
Your first
Dave.
Problem, yeah. Dave, was going to Storkland.
Well, that's not my.
That, what the crap?
That wasn't
dude.
My decision.
No,
that
your first problem
us.
Is
Hello.
Having a baby, Dave.
She went there. No, she went to Pier 1. She went to like five different places. But no, that was definitely
Storkland.
Your first
not
problem
cool.
was getting married. Your second problem is having a baby.
True. It's really impacting
third
my dating life. Getting
just
married.
The connotation of Storkland that babies are delivered by storks is just bad enough.
But my cool of the week, and I think works. You guys will appreciate this. I did go home yesterday to Samson, my hometown, saw my beloved Woo! Mother, and I was kind of pilfering around in my closet of my old bedroom that I haven't lived in since 1994. And every time I go in there, there's something else I find, and I found my Eagle Scout ring, which for whatever
awesome.
Reason fits my finger now. I can't imagine what it was like when I was 13.
I didn't know you were an Eagle Scout.
I'm an Eagle Scout. Yes, I am.
I am too.
I'll rock on. Twinkies. Yeah.
I used to throw stuff at Eagle right Scouts. Now.
And so in that closet, actually, in the back of the closet, hanging up on the closet wall, I found a original movie poster from Home Alone. Stuck
oh.
to the wall.
Awesome.
On the left side of the closet, I found the old Nintendo poster. We used to buy like the Mario Brothers games and stuff. They came with a poster and it folded
oh, yeah.
out and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like with all the games you could purchase.
Yes.
Found
yes.
that. Had the robot awesome. On top and everything. So next time I go down there, I'm going to bring that back and
that's
Rob,
slap
dude.
Up on Rob, the wall.
Rob, yeah, Rob the robot.
Yep. And on the right side, if you Uh-oh. Look up a little bit.
The coup de grace.
Well, not really. I was actually shocked that I couldn't believe I had not seen this in quite a while. There's a picture of Susanna Hoffs, the lead singer of the Bengals.
Oh,
back when she was
gosh.
Popular, like 1989.
Like an Egyptian.
There's a black and white photograph of her. Apparently, I thought Susanna Hoffs was good looking back then.
Dude, she's
some
still,
things
she was
never
good looking,
Dave.
Man.
So, no, it was kind of fun. I looked up and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Susanna Hoffs. What the crap? So, anyway, that was a whole lot of fun. But that was
now it would be Amy Adams. So.
Well, yeah, I'm going to replace it with Amy Adams in that class. Amy Adams was like 14 when I was hanging that picture up.
That's awesome.
Amy, I'm just going to draw a picture of a tombstone. So,
oh, God.
Rest in stoned.
A toe
so.
Tag.
Not soon enough. All right, well.
Exactly.
That leads us, of course, to a wonderful segment we like to call Mike's. Music
well, dude, I wanted to hear about Sean's week.
Oh, I apologize.
He's mic'd up. I mean, Sean,
I always
I didn't.
Sean.
Keep going, Mike.
Oh, jeez.
I had a fantastic week.
Awesome. Well, that brings us
all right,
up.
So, yeah.
Thanks, guys. I'm gone.
No, but seriously, anything exciting and new happened?
What was his name?
Well,
dude, come on. Dude, why'd you have to even
So I've been working out a lot lately. Y'all may not have noticed.
Oh, I noticed. I noticed.
Okay, good. Mm. And I decided one day not to go to the gym. I was like, okay, I'm just going to run.
So his name's Jim.
Dave. Exactly. Okay, that's enough.
So I get home. I change clothes out of my work clothes, put on my running clothes and everything, go outside, run for like 30 seconds, and I'm dripping with sweat.
Yeah, because it's like 200 degrees outside.
Yeah, and I'm like... Which is also my uncool of the week, which is the summer heat. It is
it's ridiculous.
It's boiling. You can fry an egg out there, literally.
It's terrible.
So, don't exercise outside. Just a tip. Go to your gym. Stay indoors. Whatever.
Exactly.
Don't mow your lawn like
don't
me.
Mow your... Yeah, if you're going to do it...
Or pay somebody to mow your lawn like I do, so...
If you're going to do it, make sure you mow the lawn at 5:30 in the morning.
Pretty much. Your neighbors that's the only time you could do it.
Or just allow it to return to nature like I am. I'm going the natural route, guys. It's like the organic, local way to do your lawn.
Like women's pits, the natural route.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know about that. So, let's do the music minute thing like we always do. This week, I had...
Sean, are you finished?
Yeah, I am.
Dude, if you're not finished, you got to freaking talk. It's a podcast. You can't pause for 5 minutes.
Continue with your story, Sean.
No, he was done.
No, I'm done.
Right.
Well, you look. I'm anxious. I'm like waiting.
What are we just
going to
stare at him and hope he had talks?
He had that anxious look in his eye, like, I've got more. I want to tell you what happened to the puppy.
His eyes were welling up with tears.
I
what are you
crying.
Talking about?
As always, our listeners are enjoying the well-oiled machine that is the
listener. Listener.
What did I say?
The listener being Tommy.
You said plural, dude. You said plural.
Tommy's laughing.
Touche. Touche.
But Mike's Music Minute, I have a buddy that sits diagonal. I'm in a cubicle environment. And so he sits diagonal, and he actually plays the blues in a local band. He plays slide guitar. He's actually really, really good. His name's Blake. And he suggested a band called the Tedeschi Trucks Band. And this is comprised of Susan Tedeschi and Derek Trucks. Derek Trucks is an awesome guitar player.
I've heard of this band.
Yeah. It's a really good band. And Susan Tedeschi really reminds me of a young Bonnie Raitt. She sounds just like her on her songs. So I wanted you guys to have the pleasure of hearing a couple songs from their new album.
Does she sound like Bonnie Vare?
No. No, but
because he does Bonnie
Raitt
songs.
But who can, really? So song I wanted us to listen to here is Come See About Me. And I'm going to let it just play from the beginning because I did want you to hear some of the musicianship as well.
I like it.
Tired of waiting on you. After all we've been through.
It's kind of got a funk feel to it.
Yeah, it's good.
If you want me still.
That was the first track on the album, Come See About Me. And the next one I wanted to do is called Learn How to Love. So here we go.
Despair. And if I knew how to love.
So that was a little bit of Learn How to Love. And the last one that I'm going to play is Love Has Something Else to Say. So here we go.
These are all very bluesy sounding titles.
It's a blues album. I mean, yeah. Essentially a blues album. I know you
know. Kicked in the butt by love. Drive the
road. But like Sean said, it does have some funk to it as well.
Just the same old song. Because it uses a wah-wah pedal. You know I
see. Don't they all?
Funk it up. On yourself.
This is very reminiscent about Toad the Wet Sprocket sounded in their early days.
Yeah, very much.
So that was the Tedeschi Trucks Band. As always, we're going to have that link available on thedeucecast.com so you can click through to Amazon and help us out a little bit. You guys have been doing great, as usual. Next week, we're going to have a little bit of a surprise. Matt's going to bring us something next week that you guys are going to undoubtedly love. And then the week after that, I'm going to give Dave a shot.
Yeah.
So for the first time, Dave's going to be doing Dave's Music Minute after Matt has his chance. And then something I'd like to try, just for our many listeners out there, if you would email us at info@thedeucecast.com and put in the subject Mike's Music Minute. Let me know a couple bands you like, and I'll try it after I give my co-hosts a shot. So that is Mike's Music Minute. Thanks, guys.
Very cool. Very good.
Yeah.
And of course, in a couple weeks, whenever I do take over as a Music Minute, which I already know what I'm going to do, Matt's actually going to be taking the buried treasure with a hidden movie that's pretty much been forgotten about, and I think Mike could take over the spot for that week. We'll mix it up.
Yeah,
we'll go crazy.
We'll
go crazy. But for right now, the master of the potluck, Matt, take it away.
And I have no idea what the smorgasbord subject is this week.
He may not. I don't know.
I'll tell you what it is, guys. This is going to be it's a little bit of a game, and it's a little bit of what I've had going on lately.
Is it a gamble?
I call this segment the all-you-can-eat movie buffet. All right? And I've watched recently four fairly recent home video releases. And what I'm going to do is, before I talk about them, I'm going to give some hints. And we're going to make this into a little bit of a game and see if you guys can guess the movie. And we're actually going to have a winner. We're going to have a winner, okay?
All right.
Okay, so this is movie number one.
Okay. Sean, you can play too.
All right. So hint number one.
Pay attention, okay, Sean.
Thanks. Hint number one. And you guys just buzz and just say, like, buzz. And then I'll just say
Okay.
Say your name. Ding. That's better. Say your name. Okay.
Eddie the Cruz is two. Eddie Lives.
Yeah. Or Amy Winehouse. I don't know. All right. Whatever.
Kelly Clarkson. All
right. So here's the first hint. Directed by Kevin McDonald.
Ooh.
Albert and the Chipmunks 2, the squeakle.
Wow.
You have to say your name first.
Oh, sorry. David.
David, what do you think?
Gremlins 2, the new batch.
No, that's wrong.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, now, or anybody else have a guess here? I've got more.
Robin Hood, the Prince of Tides.
No. All right, here we go. I'm going to give us some more. Okay, this one's the first one was worth 4. This is worth 3. They're going to go down a point each.
Okay.
All
right. Okay.
It's like we're at a bar.
Second hint. Bird.
Michael.
Yep. What?
Birds.
No.
David.
Like Happy I said, the recent releases.
Happy Feet 2. Happy Feeder.
No. All right. Okay. Here's third. Okay. This is only worth 2 points.
Kevin McDonald. Okay.
Roman.
Ooh. Recent releases?
Yes. Kevin McDonald, Bird, Roman.
Recent releases?
Yeah, like just came out on home video pretty recently.
Oh.
Home video.
This is worth 2 points.
I am befuzzled.
Is home video like Netflix stream?
No, I mean, it's out on DVD, Blu-ray.
I wasn't
Blu-ray,
familiar with the term,
like
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
No, out on VHS.
Or beta.
Or, rent. Okay. Yeah. Okay, all right, here's the last one. This is worth 1 point. Jeez,
this is hard.
Tatum.
As in O'Neal?
Oh.
Channing?
Michael.
Yeah.
Centurion.
No, but it's about that.
Dang it. I can't remember the name. I know the movie, but I cannot remember the name of it. It's something like
David.
The Phoenix Will Rise.
A funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
No, remember. Oh. Okay, here are the hints. Kevin
Michael.
McDonald, Bird, Roman, Tatum.
Michael.
Yeah.
Bird...
On a wire.
Roman Centurions.
Okay, I'm calling it right there.
Yeah,
0
we don't know it.
Anybody. The Eagle is the name of the movie.
Oh,
it was very overlooked. Okay, but you know what? Of all the movies I've watched...
The Eagle has not landed.
Of all the 4 movies that I watched here, This is the best one.
Really?
Yes, it was very good.
Channing Tatum?
Channing Tatum is in it. He plays a Roman centurion. He spread his wings in this movie.
Did those words just come out of your mouth?
Yeah, the main people are Channing Tatum and Jamie Bell. And you guys know who Jamie Bell is,
co-star of Defiance.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you guys what I loved and what I loathed, and it's really fast. Okay, so what I loved, they kept all the intensity of a Roman, like a war movie with a PG-13 rating. Like it was really surprising they were able to do that. And this is like a very real movie. It's not like some teeny bopper movie.
Right.
I mean, it was actually really good. The second thing, the scenery and visuals are absolutely breathtaking. Like what the movie's about, just a really, really quick synopsis, is basically like a long, 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 long time ago, of course, when the Romans first went into the UK, or what is now the UK, into Britain, an army carrying a golden eagle, which is like their standard, went into the north, and it was never seen again. And since then, Hadrian's Wall was constructed. If you guys saw King Arthur, you know, there's like the big wall.
Right.
You know, and anything past that, like Rome, the Roman Empire ended there.
Are you talking anything about King Arthur with Clive Owen?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's just checking.
But basically what it is Channing Tatum and Jamie Bell as his slave, like they take this journey in like behind enemy lines basically to retrieve the eagle that was his father. His father was the leader, so he's like restoring his family.
Isn't
honor.
Donald Sutherland in that also?
He is, yes, yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that's a good one. All right, here's second movie.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, here's the guess. Okay, these are some good hints, okay? And you might never get them.
Okay.
Hint number one, we're 4 points.
Okay.
Kevin Sorbo.
David.
Hercules, Man of Science.
Okay, going once. Okay, all right, second hint. I'm guessing nobody got it there.
Right.
That was not it. All right, second one, Hawaii.
Sean.
5-0.
This is not a police drama.
Think recent releases. Hawaii. These were theatrical releases at one point.
Oh my gosh.
Kevin Sorbo was in a recent theatrical release?
He was.
Wow. That's
all right, bad. Here's worth 2 points. Third, okay. Carrie Underwood.
Ethan.
Hawk.
Dave, I can't believe you don't know this.
Carrie Underwood. Oh, Michael.
Yes.
Country Strong.
No. No, that's a guy with Carrie Underwood. That's a good guess.
I mean, come on, I'm trying here.
Nothing to do with Hawaii. Okay, here's number four for 1 point.
Oh, Michael.
Yes.
One-armed surfer chick. That one movie.
Soul Surfer.
That's right, Dave.
Yeah!
Dude, one arm. I was
Dave
Carrie
has
one.
My last was going to be Severed Arm. So Dave actually got 2 points. Dave
Dude,
got 2 points.
Just because I didn't know the name of the movie.
Dave got 2 points. Stephanie really wanted to see this, so we rented it last night through the Redbox
system. I've heard it's very disarming.
No, it's actually pretty good. Okay, it was actually pretty good. All right, so this is what it's about. All right, here's the cast. Dennis Quaid. Right. Helen Hunt, Kevin Sorbo, Craig T. Nelson, Carrie Underwood. They're the known people in the movie. But there's lots of other people you've seen before. But basically, it's kind of like a faith-based movie.
Well, it's based on real life, too.
Yeah, it's based on a real story. But they actually present Christians sort of like normal people. Which
Do
is
they ever
fanatics.
Try and sew her arm back on?
No, they do
at
not.
At any point in the movie?
I wish they did, but they bad. Do not.
Did they try and get somebody else's arm sewed back on, and then that arm was evil and tried to kill people?
No.
Okay. Like that arm belonged to a serial killer?
That's the sequel.
That's the sequel.
That would be a great movie, but they already had that one. Is that movie called Body Parts?
Well, there was like Body Parts, and then there was the one where she had evil eyes also.
There was one with Seth Green, too, with a hand that walked around.
Oh, yeah, Idle Hands.
Idle Hands,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, so faith-based soul surfing.
Let me give
Devin
you a little.
Devin Sava was in that as well.
No, he was not. Well. Okay, let me give you a little what I loved, what I loathed. What I loved, I actually liked Dennis Quaid in this. I actually pretty much hate most of his performances, including The Rookie. I thought it was really overrated.
The Quaid.
Second.
The DQ.
Helen Hunt's ever oldishness worked as a surf mom.
Oh.
Mm. She always seemed like a mom to me, even when she was on Mad About You. She always seemed older than she should be. All right. So next thing, the story actually had some heart, and like I said, it showed Christians like being normal, not fanatical and crazy. Third, there was some killer photography of like the ocean surfing, like the wipeout scenes and stuff. It was really cool. What I hated about it, some of the arm effects, basically when she gets her arm bitten off, it looks really corny.
Was
like,
Carrie Underwood the one that got her arm bitten off?
No.
Carrie Underwood bit her arm off.
Carrie Underwood was actually her youth pastor. in the movie.
Ooh, dude, progressive.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't.
But yeah, and I thought Carrie Underwood was kind of lame as her youth pastor. That was my other low.
Yeah.
Okay, here's movie number 3 out of 4.
Women shouldn't be in ministry, such as
this one's got
says.
Five points. All right. So Dave's leading with 2.
Yeah.
We'll start with 5.
Okay.
All right. Remember, this is recent releases.
Recent releases. Okay.
First word, Berlin.
Wall. Oh, Take My Breath Away.
Berlin.
Valkyrie 2. Valkyrie with a Vengeance.
All right. Second, Mistaken Identity.
Taken.
Gosh.
No. Unknown.
That's
unknown.
It. You got it, Dave.
Yeah.
I don't know all any right, Dave of these. Has got I've never even points. Heard of any of these movies.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah, this is the...
It was like Taken Part 2.
This was billed basically. As like the Given. Sequel to Taken, almost. You know, like when they advertised it, it was basically like it was like Taken 2, even though it has nothing to do with Taken.
Even more Taken.
At all. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's kind of ridiculous.
Taken 2.
It's an okay movie. Have any of you guys seen it?
I want to see it. It's on my DVR list.
It's all right. I'm not going to give anything away.
I will not see it unless Maggie Grace is in it.
She is not.
Oh, I'm not seeing it then.
She is in The Fog.
The Mist.
Yeah.
She's The Fog.
Oh, okay, my bad.
I had the right
condensation. January
wrong
Jones is in it, and she's like the wife, and then what's her name?
Famke Janssen.
January Jones. I don't know. She's in that too?
Yeah, she's in it, dude. And what's
not
other?
Not boding well.
Another girl, Diane Kruger, is in it.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, yeah, from National Treasure. Yeah,
yeah, and from Inglourious Bastardos.
Yes.
All right, so what I loved.
Is it the Espanol version?
Yeah. Cool car chase. There's a pretty cool car chase in there. It's in Berlin, so if you're in a European city setting, you've got to have car chases that are cool, apparently, in a movie. Second is there's a really cool explosion in the movie. That's about the coolest stuff. All right, what I loathe is the movie is just an amalgam of different existing ideas for movies. There's like hardly anything really original about it. The second thing is some of the things that happen midway through the movie, they don't make sense once you know the twist. Like once you find out at the end, like it doesn't make sense that these things happened. There's a twist because he basically like loses his identity at the very beginning of the movie. He gets in a car crash. And then he comes and finds his wife, and he's like, hey, I'm Dr. So-and-so Harris. And then there's like a guy that's him.
So it's not just a clever title.
Right.
It's not.
Unknown,
it's not.
Basically.
Well, he's
really
unknown, but he's trying to become.
To himself.
He's trying to become known.
He's unknown to himself.
Yes. True, right. True. Yes. Okay. Here's number 4. This is the last one.
All right.
Dave
I've got to basically, get it on the first word to win, right?
Well, you still probably wouldn't win, but you'd give it a real run. You give it a real run for your money.
Drive.
All right,
you give it a real run for your money. Okay, this is. Well, I'm not going to give you. Okay, here's the first word, worth 5 points. Lobotomy.
Oh.
Facing the Giants.
dude. No. The Burbs.
No. Okay. Second. Yeah. Okay. Second hint.
All right.
Worth 4 points.
All right.
Schoolgirl outfits.
Jeez. Oh, gosh. That Aerosmith video with Alicia Silverstone.
Crying.
Yes.
Crying. Amazing.
That Britney Spears.
Okay.
Movie.
Here's number 3. Vanessa Hudgens in Beehive Hairdo.
Oh, Beauty and the Beast. Or Beastly.
No.
No, never mind.
In Beehive Hairdo?
In a Beehive Hairdo.
Oh, God.
And it looks ridiculous.
Steppenwolf.
Slam dance. Body slam.
Okay,
did
next
you say
one.
Steppenwolf?
Here's next. This is worth 2 points.
All right.
Okay.
Zack Snyder.
Oh, I mean...
301.
No, what's that the Disney thing where they dance in high
school?
That's
what I'm saying. Slam dance. Slam.
Okay,
body,
here's last.
Body
here's
up.
Last one. Okay, the last one. You guys you can only guess after I say it.
Hairspray.
Okay, lobotomy is first. Schoolgirl outfits is second.
Right.
Vanessa Hudgens and Beehive Hairdo is third.
Right.
Zack Snyder is fourth. Last is piece of poop. Because this movie was a total piece of poop.
I don't know, dude. High School Dance 8.
Come on, Zack Snyder? You know Zack Snyder is the director?
Oh, well, yeah, Sucker Punch.
Yeah. Okay.
One point for me.
You got 1 point.
You know who I was thinking when you said Zack Snyder?
Efron.
I got confused.
Yeah.
My bad.
So
I was Sucker Punched there.
So Sucker Punch was not good. Okay, not a good movie at all. I rented it on Blu-ray, and it's visually stunning, pretty much. That's the only thing I loved is there's some really well-designed action scenes and effects. What I loathed, the plot absolutely did not make sense. It revolves around this girl called Baby Doll. That's
Dixon?
All you ever know
Baby
is
Doll
her name.
Dave?
Baby Doll.
Dixon. Go ahead.
Her name is Baby Doll. She is basically duped by her stepfather into taken into an insane asylum where basically he's paying them off to give her a lobotomy so that he will get the inheritance that when her mother died, he thought he should have gotten, but she left to her.
Oh, it's that old movie cliche.
Yeah.
But, seen that 1,000 times.
Jeez. Well, I mean, it apparently back in the day, crap like that happened all the
Sounds
time.
Sounds like they live with Roddy Piper. Me.
I liked it when it was called Annie.
But anyway, here's some stupid stuff. Okay, characters had retarded names. One of the main characters called Baby Doll, of course, and she had absolutely no personality. I mean, it was like the most blank slate of a character I've ever seen. One of the other characters, Sweet Pea, Rocket was one of the girls. I mean, they all had ridiculous, like, 50s looking outfits on and stuff, like schoolgirls. The main character was incredibly lame. And last but not least, and this bugs me all the time, okay, I know that people want bad A chicks in their movies.
That's right.
But you know what? Look, guys, they need to be trained on how to use a gun if they're really, like, if they're really going to be believable,
right,
you know, as somebody that handles a firearm, then they need to be, like, really good and solid at using it. You know, like, when you watch movies, like, you know, they're like Saving Private Ryan and stuff, like, these guys actually went to, like, boot camp and were trained, you know, like a soldier back then, and carried a gun like they should. And I'm sure that they did some training in this, but especially with the guns they had to carry with two hands, they just did not look right. Like, they didn't look strong enough to hold them. You know what I mean? It made it really crappy, in addition to its already crappiness. Like, it was already a stupid movie, but it just added really stupidity to it. Anyway, those are my movies that I saw. That is my, what did I call it? All you can eat movie buffet. Dave is the winner.
Yay.
Good job.
Kudos to Dave. Michael,
hearing about
place.
These movies, we're all winners.
That's right. Well, that's right. Here, I endorse The Eagle and Soul Surfer. Unknown. It's okay. Pretty good. Take it or leave it.
I say feh.
I say Leave Behind, Sucker Punch, unless you're like an effects junkie or something and you just want to watch, you know, like awesome explosions and stuff like that, then watch it, but just fast forward through all the insane asylum parts.
Sweet.
It kind of reminds me of that that feminine hygiene product, the Kotex commercial, where all the chicks, they're punk rocker chicks, and they come out of the woodwork and out of the bushes and stuff, and they're putting graffiti all over everything, and then you find out it's a feminine hygiene product commercial.
Oh, that's here's another thing.
Are you talking about that douche commercial?
Well, that was it.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing that's really
stupid. That's a different podcast.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, hey, here's what's really dumb about this movie, okay? Baby Doll imagines, the main character, somehow imagines, like, really quickly after she gets in the insane asylum, she imagines that she's in, like, a nightclub, and, like, that the guy who runs the insane asylum is actually making the girls, like, dance for these high rollers that come in. And so she has to, like, dance. And so when they play music, it's like Bjork music. And she starts dancing. It never actually shows her dance, but when she starts dancing, it rotates around her head, and suddenly she's in this, like, action scene. You know what I mean? It's really dumb. But the music, and it keeps going back to it, is all these old, like women vocal classic rock songs that are redone in this, like, techno,
sweet,
you know, modern way. Like, one of them is, like, White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. And it's ridiculous. Like,
you have strengthened my resolve to never see this film.
Exactly. Me too.
It's another element that's just like, why?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it just did not make sense. The whole dancing thing was so dumb anyway. But anyway, I could go on and on. Let's move on to Buried Treasure.
Yes,
Dave,
let's move on to Buried Treasure. We shall. And I want to talk about a very special movie that's something very near and dear to my heart. Because, you know, growing up, I have been a Patrick Swayze fan. And, you know, Patrick Swayze has had a lot of movies that weren't that great, but he's had a lot of stellar films. But I would dare say that his masterpiece, some would say Roadhouse, and although I enjoy Roadhouse.
Too Wong Fu, thanks
some
for
say,
all.
Some would say Ghost.
Julie Newmar.
Great film. Ghost is a great film. One of my 102nd favorite film of all time, but not his masterpiece. Some would even say Dirty Dancing. But nay, I say to that. My pick is this film from 1998, not only starring Patrick Swayze. but also starring Meatloaf.
Here we go.
In an Oscar-nominated performance. Patrick Swayze plays an ex-con trucker with a suspended license making one last run to avoid foreclosure of his house.
He knew it was coming.
And his rig turns out to be full of concealed assault weapons. I hope I didn't ruin it for you. I hope I didn't ruin it, okay?
Spoiler alert.
His corrupt boss, played by Meatloaf, is planning to sell. And Meatloaf, of course, playing that villain that quotes Bible verses the entire time. I mean, just gripping. I will tell you.
So realistic, too.
Yeah. There's no dirty dancing for Swayze here, but lots of dirty driving. Swayze driving a big rig. Starring Randy Travis, Brenda Strong, who's in Desperate Housewives, Stephen Tobolowsky, Charles S. Dutton, and of course Patrick Swayze and Meatloaf in the Oscar-nominated flick Black Dog.
I thought it was Too Wong Fu, Dave.
No, Black Dog, directed by Kevin Hooks. Fantastic movie. Actually, Meatloaf, yeah, he actually did get nominated for Best Supporting Actor for that. It was along the lines of a Hannibal Lecter kind of performance with Sir Anthony Hopkins.
It was stellar.
He didn't win. I don't think he should have won that year, but it was great to be nominated and everything. I thought that Charles S. Dutton should have gotten a nomination. He was snubbed there, but it's gripping. Watching Swayze, there's this great scene where Swayze's in the big rig and he's going up the hill, going up the truck, taking the big rig and everything. He has a battle with the big rigs on the side of a mountain, and in behind him is Randy Travis driving the Camaro, trying to weave in and out of the traffic. I mean, it's just...
Did the big rigs at least transform into something?
No.
Okay.
No, this is before that technology was available.
Oh, okay.
You know, but, Patrick Swayze, rest in peace. Rest in peace, but
Meatloaf. Rest in. Oh wait, no.
Yeah, he's still alive. He's still alive. Still making great movies.
So, quick question for you guys.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, really, really fast. This is a flash question for each person.
Yes.
Favorite movie featuring big rigs, Michael.
That would be Breakdown.
Sean.
Oh, Transformers.
Dave. See, I'm going to say Black Dog because Breakdown really, I mean, that's not a big rig movie. A truck was in it, but that wasn't a big rig movie.
I say Maximum Overdrive.
That's good.
Oh, that film was pretty terrible, and it was so bad that Stephen King, who directed it, said it was a piece of crap. So
he directed
it? So anyway, he directed that film. The only movie he ever directed, and he said he would never go back to directing again after that movie.
A strong performance by Emilio Estevez.
Well, and Yeardley Smith, voice of Bart Simpson, by the way.
That's right, yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, that's this week's Buried Treasure.
It's rough.
Meatloaf and Patrick Swayze, Black Dog. We're going to have a movie viewing of that one night.
Never seen it.
Watch it.
Never will.
It'll be great. So anyway, that leads us, of course, to what we love to call the Big Three. And this week on the Big Three, we decided to go with... wait a minute. No, it is the Big Three. Remember here?
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Michael showed me my notes. He was like, you're wrong, dude. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm right.
My bad. I was excited about playing the movie game,
dude. It's a well-oiled machine.
That's right. We decided to go with our favorite that guy. So what's a that guy? We're going to have a little bit different definitions, I think. But here's kind of my thought on it. It's one of those actors or actresses that you see in movies, and you know their face because you've seen them in that other film with that other guy, but it's the one with, you know, and he was that, but I don't really know the name, that's called a character actor, but commonly called a that guy. Because you end up saying, hey, it's that guy. And I think a great example of this would be J.K. Simmons, which is a great that guy.
Yes.
You'll find him in all the Farmers Insurance ads. He's leading around the new little newbie rookie agents. He's talking about everything. You don't know his name, but you've seen him in Spider-Man, and you've seen him in The Closer with Kira Sedgwick, and you've seen him in other films.
Juno, hello.
And Juno.
God, Dave.
He is a great...
incredibly overrated movie, by the way. Everybody loved it, apparently.
Me.
Of course, we all did. Well, he is a great that guy, but we're going to talk about that, guys, and we're going to send it over to Michael first. Let's talk about your honorable mentions and your number three, that guy.
Okay, I've got some great honorable mentions. This could have easily been a top three for me, but my number one honorable mention is Keith David, star of Platoon.
Good call.
Roadhouse.
And They Live.
Men at Work. And Seagal, Marked for Death.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also David Keith.
That was almost one of my honorable mentions.
Firestarter.
Behind Enemy Lines, Major League 2.
Yes.
U-571, which I watched on Ion recently.
Right.
That was a great movie. And then my only chick, Leslie Mann. 40-year-old version, Knocked Up, Big Daddy.
Love Miss Melissa, man.
Yeah, yeah. She's my only chick worthy of being a that girl. But my number three, Great villain, Calm Fjord. He was most recently in Thor as King Laufey. All made up, though. You couldn't tell it was actually him. He was a villain in Face Off, Pearl Harbor, Chronicles of Riddick.
Are you talking about King Happy from Around the World in 80 Days? Because that was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. King Laufey from Thor.
Oh, I'm thinking Prince Happy. Sorry.
But Calm Fjord is the man. So if you want to throw him up there for our viewer, so we can...
Well, how do you spell it?
C-O-L-M.
Calm.
Calm.
Like Calm Meany, but not quite.
Fjord.
Oh, got it.
F-E-O-R-E. He is
an awesome villain. Yeah.
He's a good guy in some movies, but more often than not, he plays a bad guy. So, Matt, what's your honorable mentions and your number three?
Okay, my honorable mentions. Let me get the best stuff back up here. Honorable mentions include Stephen Root.
He is in tons of stuff.
Most recently, Brother, Where Art Thou? He's the blind guy, blind radio station guy. Office Space, of course. He's also one of the main funniest characters in Justified. He is the Speedo wearing crazy judge that everybody's like afraid of, and he gives like horrible sentences out. Also, Kenny Johnson. He is in The Shield. He was also the first vampire victim in Blade. If you guys remember, guy at the very beginning of Blade comes in with a chick. She turns out to be a vampire.
Oh, yeah.
To the party, with all the blood.
He falls on the ground and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
That's the guy. But he's also in, he was also in The Shield and is now in Sons of Anarchy. Also, in tons of movies, Kim Coates.
Oh, I love that dude.
He is Sons of Anarchy, man. He was in Black Hawk Down, but he's one of the main characters in Sons of Anarchy, one of the main, bikers. And he is awesome. My last honorable mention, Kevin Corrigan. This is going to be hard for you guys to see.
Yes.
He's in Fringe. What else? He was in Damages.
He's been in tons of stuff. Show that picture again so Dave can see him.
Yeah, he was in Community recently. He was a professor that was for like a study that wasn't even supposed to exist. I don't remember exactly how that
went. Right.
Anyway, okay. So my number three is Glenn Morshower. This is Glenn Morshower.
Oh,
he is the Secret Service agent from 24. He is in all of the Transformers movies. If there's a military movie, he's pretty much in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's also Landry Clark's father, who's the sheriff in Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is mine. He turned in. I was really happy because in true that guy fashion, really quickly define my interpretation of that guy. It was a little different than what you guys had thought, but I guess there's tons of actors I know who they are. So I guess when I think of that guy, I think of like people that I don't know, like their names when I first see them, like J.K. Simmons. I know who J.K. Simmons is.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't. Because
he's famous.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah, so, but I mean, a lot of people don't know who, I don't know, Christian Bale is. Like, old people don't. You know, I mean, where do you draw the line?
Right.
I guess. So, anyway.
There is no line.
I understand you guys' rule, your qualifications or whatever. Mine are maybe a little different, whatever. But anyway, Glenn Morshower is my number three.
Awesome.
Very cool. All right. Well, my honorable mentions, and I kind of approach this from my favorite that guys of all time. So, a lot of these that guys aren't going to be that guys anymore.
Interesting.
And so my three honorable mentions, I put Don Cheadle, of course.
Ocean's
11, Boogie Nights. I think I mentioned this to Matt earlier. Boogie Nights is like a murderer's row of that guy Hall of Famers
with
William H. Macy and Philip Seymour Hoffman, John C. Reilly. They're not that guys anymore, but they were then, and it's a great collection. Anyway, Don Cheadle, Steve Buscemi, I think is a first-round ballot Hall of Famer, that guy. Because everybody knows who he is now, but 10 years ago, he was just that guy.
That guy?
And the girl that's on my list is that chick is Ileana Douglas.
You'll know her
from Stir of Echoes and a few other movies. I love Ileana Douglas.
Some would say fugly.
Kind of a Monet, a far away. She's very attractive. Get closer, and you're like, Yeah. Maybe not so much.
Yeah. Well, I think for a while, they really, really tried to make her a star. Do you guys remember when they had like that Peter Dragon or whatever the show with, what the crap was his name?
Peter Dragon?
Yeah.
Pete's Dragon?
What?
No. It was about Jay Moore. And he was like a
action.
Oh yeah, action.
He was a movie. Yep.
It's called action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
was it called action? His name was Peter Dragon or something like that.
It's called action.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But she was the kind of girl in it.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, I love her. I think she's awesome.
Yeah, I thought so until I saw that, and I
would say my number four. Coming very close to making my top three would be Kevin Pollak.
Weinberg
and A Few Good Men. He's in The Usual Suspects, The Whole 10 Yards. And I met him before. Great guy. He's a funny guy.
Canadian Bacon.
I mean, he's been in a ton of movies. I looked him up on IMDb, and the list just kept going and going and going. So I love Kevin Pollak. But my number three, all-time that guy, Markinson in A Few Good Men. He was Major Dickerson in A Good Morning Vietnam. He was Kneebaum in The Negotiator. He was Red in Breakdown. Mm. The late, great J.T. Walsh.
Oh, yes.
He was great at playing a scumbag. He played the really scummy mayor in Pleasantville. He played all these really low-life kind of sleazy characters.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I loved J.T. Walsh. He did pass away in 1998. He was actually...
His picture on IMDb is like... 2 pixels by 2 pixels.
He was so actually small. Going
way
too
soon.
You'll love this. He was actually at an Optimal Health clinic in Los Angeles, California, when he died. So some sort of spiritual, like ritualistic health clinic when he passed away. Although I don't remember what he passed away from. But anyway, that's my number three, J.T. Walsh, great scumbag character. That guy. So Mikey.
Well, you guys are definitely going to know who this guy is just because you're film buffs, but a lot of people don't know who this guy is but would recognize the face. That would be Michael Rooker. He is one of my all-time favorite that guys.
Good call.
He was in one of my favorite movies of all time, Mallrats. Mm-hmm. Love anything Kevin Smith does. He was also a great villain, or ended up being a villain in Cliffhanger.
He wasn't really a villain in Cliffhanger. He was mad at Sylvester Stallone, but he ended up being a good guy.
And
a personal vendetta.
Yeah,
gentleman, he had the honor of, like we just mentioned, not only working with Stallone, but also working with Schwarzenegger in The Sixth Day.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, not many guys can say that. But and then also he's of course most recently in The Walking Dead, which he is phenomenal in that. So
isn't he Merle?
He is, yes. So Michael Rooker, my number two. What's yours, Matt?
All right. Well, my number two, and this dude I've seen forever, and it mostly I keep spotting him because of his face. Okay, this guy was in Braveheart. This guy was in a Gladiator. He is in just about every like ancient style
swords
war
and sandals.
Movie.
He's in a lot of swords and sandals.
A
movies.
Lot of them. He's also in Sons of Anarchy. I'm talking about Tommy Flanagan. Do you guys see him here? He's the guy that has like jacked up face.
Oh, I know who you're talking
about. Scars
though.
On his cheeks.
Yeah, yeah. It's blurry on our end, but I do know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he is. He plays a character called Chibs in Sons of Anarchy, and actually, kind of. Can you see him now?
Yeah, no, I got him.
We got him.
I got him.
Yeah. Better. Yeah,
he's Irish or something, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's Scottish, I think.
Whatever.
But yeah, he is very thick accented, and it's actually hard for him to do anything but. But he's actually really good, and actually they actually worked him in a really cool little subplot this season in Sons of Anarchy. He plays a character called Chibs, and that's it. Tommy
is that like Crockett and Chibs? No,
it's like Chibs and.
That was a good show back in the day with Fish and John Chibs.
Yeah,
Chibs.
Yeah,
California Highway. Patrol, whatever. Okay.
Right.
All right. So my number two, again, it's a former that guy, and I think everybody knows him now, but of course he played Gus the Catcher in Love of the Game when he was talking with Kevin Costner going, "We're there for you, man. We're going to do it for you." He was in Chicago. He was Reed Rothschild in Boogie Nights. And of course, the great Cal Naughton Jr. in Talladega Nights. Of course, I'm talking about John C. Reilly.
Yeah, yeah.
Love me some Reilly. Yep. I love how he doesn't take himself too seriously. He did the Walk Hard movie, which was not that great, but he was still very funny in the movie.
Yeah, definitely not that great.
But no, I actually saw him not too long ago in what was the Cirque du Freak, the Vampire Chronicles or whatever.
Sad. You saw that? Piece
he was
of
the
crap?
He was the best part of. That movie.
Cirque de Freak.
But John C. Reilly is my number two
Cirque
favorite
crap
all time that guy.
Awesome. And my number one, again, you guys are going to obviously know who this guy is, but most people would recognize the face but not know the name necessarily. Of all time, it has to be Danny Trejo. I mean, he is...
Machete, machete, machete.
Yeah, machete. I mean, he's been in some classic... Desperado, Heat, From Dusk Till Dawn, Con Air.
Con Air.
I mean, this guy, I looked up his IMDb profile, and that's another thing.
It's insane.
That guy's have usually been in tons of movies.
Oh, and they're usually way back. The ones I started looking at were back from like the 70s the way till the present.
And like they always start out as like cop number six or street thug number two or whatever.
Always change that quickly either.
Yeah.
Danny Trejo started in like 83. And he has been in 214 movies, I think, something ridiculous like that. And one thing about Danny Trejo, and I believe this is on Netflix stream, he actually used to be a former criminal and was in prison for quite a while. And there's a great documentary that I cannot recall the name of right now, but it's on Netflix stream, and it's starring Danny Trejo. He's talking about his former life as a criminal and how he got out of that atmosphere and into acting and stuff like that. It's a really good documentary. I wish I could remember the name, but we'll throw it up on the website for sure, because in research I'll be able to find it and whatnot. But it really, really good documentary about
Danny
Trejo.
I think it was called
Trejo.
Total Recall.
No, it was not. But
Trejo Recall?
Yeah, Trejo Recall. So Matt, what's your number one?
My number one is a character actor who I have seen for years and just recently has actually gotten to shine a little bit in a TV series called Breaking Bad. This guy has been like going since the early 80s. Earliest, he played a character called Tim Cavanaugh in Lethal Weapon 2. He was Detective Sergeant Goodhart in the Seagal film Hard to Kill. He is also Hank Schrader in Breaking Bad. He's a DEA agent. He plays the main character, Walt's brother-in-law. I'm talking about Dean Norris. And when you guys see this guy's face, you will remember or recognize him.
Yeah,
he's a big part
okay,
in
I gotcha.
So much stuff. Yeah. Usually he's a major D-bag. His role in Breaking Bad is awesome. And he really gets to shine. I mean, he's really a great actor. And I really hope he gets, you know, more actual lines in movies and gets to be more of a real part. He was like a bit part in Lost. I don't know if you remember that, Michael. He was in like the father of some, you know, guy, somebody like Miles swindled, you know.
Right.
He's in tons of stuff, but he has been one of those that guys. I never knew his name. I watched Breaking Bad for 3 seasons, never knew his name. And he was one of my favorite characters, you know, the whole time. And he's going strong right now.
Awesome.
In it. So that's my number one, Dean Norris.
All right, for my number one, I'm going to go back to the 80s and 90s. This guy hasn't made a whole lot of stuff that I know of recently. I mean, I looked at his IMDb page, and there's some stuff there, but nothing really big. But his heyday was the 80s and 90s. He was in La Bamba. He was Renfro in The Fugitive. He was Guido the Killer Pimp in Risky Business. he was, of course, Francis Fratelli in The Goonies. He was the bail bondsman guy in Midnight Run. Joe Pantoliano.
Oh, nice.
I love this guy. I mean, I think he is just, he's fantastic. And like, because I was a movie buff even in the 80s
Joey
and 90s.
Pants.
Growing up, I was like the only person that I knew that knew this guy's name was Joe Pantoliano.
Yeah.
I mean, because he was in everything back in the 80s
and 90s. Cypher in the Matrix.
He was Cypher in the Matrix. So, yep. Exactly. Just a great guy. Instantly
recognizable.
He had
that awesome soul patch.
He was
so.
Gabe Ugliano in Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief.
Wow.
Once again, it's a movie I haven't seen.
Still around,
I was too busy
watching pretty good.
Cirque du Freak. but no, and like I said, he's made some stuff, but he hasn't made nearly the amount of stuff that he's done before. But yeah, I love me some Joey Pants. I think Pantoliano. It was great. I love the fact that I just happen to know his full name. So anyway,
awesomeness.
So that is our big three for this week. Our top three, that guys. You go to thedeucecast.com. You'll be able to click on our number ones, Dean Norris, Danny Trejo, and Joe Pantoliano. See their movie page. Pick out a movie you want. Order it. Give us a nickel. When you give them $10, it'll be awesome. So that's our big three for the week. And we're going to move into a little thing we like to call simply the movie game.
Yes. I've been looking forward to this all week.
And basically, here's how we play. It's real
looking
simple.
Looking forward to losing.
Uh-oh.
Here's how we play. It's real simple. All we're going to do is we're going to toss up an actor or an actress. And the next person has to come up with a movie that actor or actress has been in. The person after that then has to come up with another actor or actress in that same movie. For instance, Tom Cruise. If I said Tom Cruise, Michael would say
beautiful.
Tom Cruise. Just kidding. He could say
Mission Impossible 3.
Well, Mission Impossible 3, Matt would say, oh, well, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right.
Well,
right,
now I have to take Philip Seymour Hoffman and I have to go
Boating.
Capote. And then he would have to come up with something else and we go all the way around the room over and over and over until somebody fails. When you fail, then we start over.
Right.
If you're the one that causes that person to fail, you get a point.
Exactly.
So if Michael said, you know, Tom Cruise and Matt couldn't come up with a Tom Cruise movie, well, number one, he'd need to be kicked out of this game to begin with. But number two, Michael would get a point.
Right.
So basically, we're playing the first 1 to 5, and I'm going to kick us off right here.
Wait, is Sean playing with us?
Sean, would you like to play?
No, I can't. I might have to sit this one out.
All right.
Sean says no, he's not going to play.
Okay.
It's technical. You wouldn't understand.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, we just wouldn't understand.
Awesome.
Okay. All right, so let's kick it off, and we'll say, Michael, you're going to go next, and your actor is Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle, Ocean's 11.
Brad Pitt.
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Cate Blanchett.
Elizabeth the Golden Age.
Ooh. Oh.
And that's a point for Matt.
Ouch.
Booyah!
Yeah.
All right. So when you fail like I just did, then you get to start it off again. So
okay.
I'm gonna start off again, and I'm gonna say you did score. I'm gonna say Kurt Russell.
Breakdown.
What the crap was that guy's name?
I
can't. I got nothing. I don't remember anybody else.
JT Walsh would be a good one to throw out there.
I know. I couldn't remember his name.
So Mikey gets a point on that. And Matt, it's your go.
Oh, how about Christian Bale? Watch Equilibrium. So
we're going to say Batman Begins.
We're going to say Liam Neeson.
Matt, that's you.
Unknown.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I did.
Diane Kruger.
National Treasure.
Nick Cage.
Con Air.
That would be Calm Meany.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I could have come back with that one. And?
Oh, Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh, no, that's Calm Fior. I'm talking
crap.
Calm Meany.
No, I have no idea who that is.
The only other movie I can think of with him in it would be Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
He was an airline
yeah.
pilot. Dang
it. That's a good that guy, too. All right, Mike gets a point on that one. So, Matt, why don't you kick us off again?
Piece of crap. That's it. Piece of crap. Go. No. Ewan McGregor.
Ah, Ewan McGregor, Trainspotting.
Ooh, Johnny Lee Miller.
Hackers.
Ooh, well done.
River Phoenix.
Sneakers.
I don't think River Phoenix is in there.
Sneakers, dude.
Dang it.
Not Hackers.
Dang it.
Dude, we talk about Hackers all the time on this podcast.
I always get that one as Sneakers.
Angelina Jolie.
I know.
I get a point on that one?
You get a point.
Yeah.
You and Michael are tied, 2-2.
Yes.
So Dave,
riveting listening for the listeners.
It's good stuff, man.
All right.
It's powerful.
All right, here we go. You ready? And your actor is Eddie Murphy.
Norbit.
Shoot. Was Janet Jackson in that?
No,
she wasn't. And Michael gets a point.
Who was in it? Who was in that?
I have no clue, dude. Eddie Murphy was in it.
Yeah, I think you should be able. I think you should have to name one.
That's bull. That's not the game, buddy.
So okay.
All right, Matt, you're up.
All right. let's see here.
Norbert.
Naomi Watts.
Mulholland Drive.
Oh, gosh. That is a good one, Dave. Yeah, you got me. Good one, man.
All right.
I smell a point.
That's got a point.
Well played.
3 from Michael, 2 from Matt, 1 from myself.
So I got to start it off?
Yes.
Danny Trejo.
Machete.
Jessica Alba.
Spy Kids 4.
Does that count? It hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it?
No,
it's not.
It's not been released yet.
Oh, we're not counting.
We never clarified that.
Oh, okay.
All right, just Gabba movie.
Well, that's Sin City then.
Okay, I mean. Sin City. He goes to Sin City.
Okay. Let's see. Clive Owen.
Closer.
Natalie Portman.
Ooh, riveting game.
Black Swan.
Ooh.
Mila Kunis.
Friends with Benefits.
Ooh.
Freaking Justin Timberlake.
Yes!
Very nice. Very nice. The Social Network.
Oh, gosh. Andrew Garfield.
Ooh.
Oh, crap.
Yes. Yes.
He's been in something else, I know.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no idea.
And yes! Michael has 4 points.
Yes.
Good call.
So close.
All right.
So close.
Four.
I can taste it.
Matt's got two. I've got one. All right, Matt. All right, Matt.
You do have one. Okay. How about Patrick Stewart?
Uh-huh.
Star Trek Insurrection.
Oh, Brent Spiner.
Star Trek Nemesis.
Oh, jeez.
Jonathan Frakes.
Oh, God. Star Trek Generations.
Oh, William Shatner.
God,
break geez. Out of the circle.
Star Trek V.
Come on.
The Final Frontier.
Oh, gosh. Okay. DeForest Kelly.
Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
Crap.
Well, I guess that would be George Takei.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Star Trek The Motion Picture.
My gosh. Oh, I have to say Leonard Nimoy.
And I'm going to have to say Transformers, the movie.
The 80 original
movie? Yeah, the original.
The original.
Okay, Mike.
Oh, no. Peter Cullen.
Ooh.
Yes.
Peter Cullen.
Yes.
Very nice.
I pulled that out of my arse.
Let's see here. Winnie the Pooh.
Not in Winnie the Pooh.
He's in the old one.
He's in the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Okay. All right, Sterling Holloway.
Oh, my God. I'm sure he's in The Fox and the Hound, then. His voice probably is. I don't know.
So what's your movie?
The Fox and the Hound. Is his voice in it? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Well, then you can't substantiate that point. So
we can. I can look it up.
That's what our tech guys are for. Fine. What's the dude's name?
Sterling Holloway.
Yeah, look him up. He's probably in Fox and the Hound. All right,
we're looking him up this time. Ooh, interesting. Call him bluff.
IMDb.
This is important because Mike has 4 points, Matt with two, and Dave with one. Mike should win this game.
What year was Fox and the Hound?
Like 84.
I don't know.
One or something.
Nope, he is not in it.
Aha!
Well, then Dave
gets the point. Very nice. All right.
Sterling Holloway.
He did it. Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
Don't ever get us in the Star Trek loop ever. Somebody, whoever did that, no more Star Trek loops.
That's me. I said it with Patrick Stewart.
You suck.
All right, Michael, your turn.
Oh, I have to start it? Okay.
Yes, you do.
And remember, you got to win by three. So I'm just
what?
Kidding.
Vin Diesel.
Pitch Black.
Oh.
Ugh.
Wow.
Who else was in that film? Dame Judi Dench.
No, she's not in it.
I don't think she
was in Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh! She was in, all right, Matt's got Matt's three.
Booyah!
Wait, is Matt? Okay, Matt's got
three.
Ooh, this is getting close.
All right, so now I start. Steve Buscemi.
Trey's Lounge.
What the?
Yes! Bring it. Bring me the point.
Hold on.
Bring it. Trey's Lounge.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Nope. I win.
Who else is in it?
I don't know. Look it up.
Trace Lounge. What is that? Is that a
TRESLOUNGE?
Oh my gosh.
Trace Lounge. If Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it, I'm gonna crap my pants.
Trace Lounge.
TRES. Trace Lounge.
Yeah, Trace Lounge.
Let's see. Philip Seymour Hoffman. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, hold on. I don't see him.
Okay.
Anthony LaPaglia is in it.
I feel like Michael winning that game is like winning on the other team, like goofing up and having a penalty. I mean,
Michael Buscemi is also in it.
Trey's Lounge. The crap is that?
I would just like to say for the record that is the best movie on the face of the earth.
What the crap? That That was pulled from the behind.
Alrighty. Speaking of Trey's Lounge, I guess you got some Star Wars news for us, there, Mikey.
Yeah, I do. And we haven't talked about video games much, so I wanted to bring some video gameage back into the Deuce Cast a little bit. There's going to be a limited edition Xbox 360 Kinect Star Wars bundle. The cool thing about it, though, it's going to look like R2-D2. So the Xbox system itself is going to have a gold controller, C-3PO.
Have custom sounds when you're loading the games and turning on and off.
If there was any moment in time that I would actually buy an Xbox 360, it would be this moment. But I don't know, dude. I'm just not a gamer, so there's just no point in me buying it. But it is so tempting.
But you are a collector.
I know. That's why it's tempting. It's very, very tempting. So that's my Star Wars news.
Well, very nice. Of course, I'm gonna break it up with something that we broke the story here several weeks ago.
Yes.
That Carney Wilson was facing a possible loss in her home. And here at the Deucecast, we at the Deucecast News want to make sure that we bring you the latest. We have learned that despite published reports to the contrary, singer Carney Wilson has told the Deucecast exclusively that her house is not in foreclosure. She told us on the phone it is in a short sale situation. It can be 2 weeks. It could be a year. My house is not in foreclosure. My house is, in fact, in a short sale. Now, of course, in case you want to know that, a short sale is when a homeowner owes more money than the property is worth, and the bank would be short some money if it's owed, if it's sold at this price. So Wilson apparently is well aware of how common the situation is. She told us here at the Deucecast, it's like half of the homes in America today, like millions of Americans with messed up banks, were not in foreclosure. I want to get the record straight. Now, if you remember, the story started circulating with Wilson of the singing group Wilson Phillips and a judge on ABC's upcoming Karaoke Battle USA says she has not responded to other stories. She says, I'm not talking about it because it's not anybody else's business. So there is your Carney Wilson watch for the week. Want to make sure that you were kept up to date. Michael, some casting news
Carney
for us, please.
Thank
Wilson
you. Thank
watch.
You for that.
Good grief. So, in sort of some more Star Wars-esque news, and also casting news, Mark Hamill has been cast as a villain for a multi-episode arc on one of my favorite NBC shows, Chuck. So, I am looking forward to seeing that. This being the last season of Chuck, they are pulling out all the stops. So, Mark Hamill's going to be in that. Also, Tom Hardy, it was announced this week that he could be playing Al Capone in a biopic called Cicero. If it does well, it could end up being a trilogy. And somebody that we talked about recently, David Yates, is on the shortlist to direct. So I'm on a big Tom Hardy boat right now, I guess. So hopefully he'll get this role. It could be good for him. This could be one that could like boost his career beyond already what it is right now.
Did you guys see the pictures of Tom Hardy as Bane?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Very S&M.
I don't know. I'm sure it will end up looking awesome on film.
Oh, yeah.
It's really
weird
looking.
It is weird looking because they're showing like some of the shots I saw were like during the day. And so it looked really weird during the day. But
well, it's weird because the first shot they ever released was him sitting there and you could see like his shoulders, like his skin.
Right.
But this is like he's wearing this huge jacket with a gigantic collar and he's got some big like, you know, suit on.
Yeah,
the mask is bizarre looking.
Yeah,
like
it's
the way that it's
really
got the
strange. But I trust Christopher
claws
Nolan.
Or whatever. Yeah.
I trust Christopher Nolan. And then, real quick, something that I was like announced today, like a couple hours before I got here. Lawrence Fishburne is going to be Perry White in Man of Steel.
I heard about that.
Crazy.
Yeah,
starring Backer Boys.
That's right. That's right. So, could be really, really interesting. I mean, there's obviously tons of Twitter talk going on about it. I mean, you know, Lawrence Fishburne's black. There's never been a black Perry White. So there's already lots of debate about the choice. But
did you guys see all this talk about Spider-Man?
I was about to bring that up. In the Ultimate Spider-Man series, Peter Parker has died in the Ultimate Spider-Man series. The one replacing him is a kid who is half black, half Mexican.
Oh.
So
half Hispanic, Dave.
Whatever. Marvel has said that that they want to embrace their diversity and display their diversity.
Interesting.
So, yep.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be cool, but whatever.
So.
But Matt, you had some not really like casting news, but you had some pretty sort of awesome news.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty awesome. This week, Battleship director Peter Berg, he also had directed movies such as Hancock, The Kingdom, and starred in such movies as Aspen Extreme.
Yes,
he is bringing, apparently, in talks, to bring Friday Night Lights to the big screen yet again, but instead of it being the Billy Bob Thornton Friday Night Lights that he directed, this would be the TV series characters, like with Kyle Chandler,
Taylor
Connie Britton.
Kiske.
Yes, exactly.
Star
those characters brought to the big screen, the characters that everybody
X-Men
loves.
Origins Wolverine.
Which I am absolutely pumped about. I think it's got to be the first time in history that a movie spawned a TV series, which spawned a movie.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head, and
I can't think of another.
I do know there were talks to bring Buffy the Vampire Slayer into the theaters, and of course that was from a TV series. That was a movie into a TV series into a movie.
But Friday Night Lights, that was a novel to a movie to a TV show to another movie. So it's
right.
like
yeah.
4 degrees there
of separation
of craziness.
Wow.
So awesome!
I am riveted and blown away.
Riveted. So, Dave, what else you got?
I did see a couple of movies this weekend. I want to talk about. I did see Crazy Stupid Love with Steve Carell, and I know Matt, you're not a huge Steve Carell fan unless he's actually
in the office. No. He didn't say that. He just said,
I like Steve Carell. Yeah. I don't like his character he plays, where it just sucks. You know what I'm talking about? Most of them. Michael Scott should have actually been on my top three TV characters list.
Right.
I love that character.
Right.
He made that show, but when he's kind of his normal self, I'm not talking about Date Night, because Date Night is goofy. I'm talking about, like you said, Dan in Real Life, mm-hmm. you know, kind of...
Right,
I don't know. Just
Dinner
kind of
with
Schmuck.
It makes
you kind of want to slap him.
Well, Steve Carell, of course,
he
leads this movie, but this is really like an ensemble movie. I mean, with Ryan Gosling in it, Emma Stone, of course, Marissa Tomei is in it, Julianne Moore is in it, and he plays this guy who finds out that his wife Julianne Moore has cheated on him with Kevin Bacon, who is great. He's so slimy in this movie, as Kevin Bacon is ought to be sometimes. And his life is falling apart, so he ends up talking to and meeting up with Ryan Gosling, who plays this womanizer, and he's trying to figure out how to get back in the game. But he doesn't really want to get back in the game because he's in love with his wife and he wants it to work. And it's just a really well done story. I mean, the reviews on it have been very good, and it's one of the better movies I've seen this year. I mean, it really is. It's a smart movie. It's not real cheesy. It's not real cliched. I think it's great.
If it happens to come on Netflix stream ever, I'll watch it. But I'm not going to seek it out on like Redbox or anything.
It's probably a movie that we will own when it comes out.
Interesting.
Another movie we saw, and we had the opportunity to watch three of these movies in 4 days. We watched, first of all, Love and Other Drugs. Then we watched No Strings Attached. Then this weekend we saw Friends with Benefits at the theater, and it's almost the same movie three times. I will say, in order, worst to first, No Strings Attached with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman.
Knock the port.
Love and Other Drugs with Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway. I like Anne Hathaway enough to make up for the fact that I care less about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
There is a twist in the middle of the movie. I don't want to say a twist. She's got Parkinson's disease, and that's in the trailer.
Oh, wow.
But that plays into the movie a lot more than I ever thought it would. And it actually turned out to be a pretty good movie.
I thought you were going to say there was a Crying Game-esque twist.
Ooh,
they should bring her character into,
no chicken
into
fingers.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes and maybe let them heal her.
They could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
for Alzheimer's.
I will say we watched with Friends with Benefits was a pretty funny movie. It relies on the strength of Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis.
They have great
chemistry. JT is a great actor. I mean, he is turning into a really, really good actor. She does just enough in this movie. I mean, she doesn't have to be over the top with it. It's funny. It's a little awkward sometimes, and the dialogue is great. It's really good. Character actor, that guy Richard Jenkins is in there as well.
Oh yeah,
Oscar
nominated Richard
Jenkins. Jenna
Richard
Elfman
Jenkins.
Makes her reappearance to the silver screen, which is good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked it. The best of those three kind of movies this year, the best one. So anyway, those are my little movie thoughts this weekend.
Awesome. That's awesomeness.
Very nice. Michael, you got any more casting news for anything for us?
Oh, hey, I got a quick movie I saw.
Oh, please.
Uh-oh. Really fast. I saw Fast Five.
Oh.
Uh-huh. What'd you think?
I thought it was good. I did not think it was as great as you did, and here's the reason. Okay, this is the reason this is not giving away a spoiler, not that the movie necessarily needs spoiler, you know, warnings.
Right.
When they got to the point where they're supposed to be pulling this heist, and, you know, Dom and what's the other dude's name? Brian. You know, we're leaning over the rail talking. They're like, all right, so we're going to need a team.
Isn't it Brian Luttrell?
No, it's Brian. It was Brian O'Connor, right. Spilner right. in the first movie. It's such a stupid name, Spilner. But anyway, so they're leaning over the rail, and they're like, all right, and so we need to get a team together. It's like, all right, so what we need is we need a guy who can talk his way out of anything. It can BS his way, you know, out of any situation. Like, oh, yeah, that's obviously Tyrese's character. It's like, and then they do this for every character. They're like, yeah, we need a guy who knows his tech.
And as they're talking, you know, it already pans to the person.
But like, the other movies never set these characters up to be good at these things. Never.
What's
just
crazy
like randomly
about
suddenly
that.
Have these attributes.
What's crazy about that part is that, like, and we may have said this on one of our Deucecast episodes, I don't know, I'll say it again, is they come to South America on the strength of, please come. If I called Michael at his house and say, hey, Mike, man, can you meet me over at a Chipotle on 280, which is like 20 miles from his house? He'd be like, why? Well, I can't tell you. I just need you to get here.
I'd be like,
he would be
only
like,
if there's hookers.
He'd be like, I don't... I mean, he would resist me all the way. He wouldn't show up going, so what is it all about, man, with my bags in my hand? What's it all about? They don't even give a reason. They just fly across the world to meet this guy.
Well, Dave, if you were Dom Toretto, I would come.
There you go.
Dave, if you were Jordana Brewster, no, I wouldn't go for Jordana Brewster.
But I gotta say, I had some awesome action.
Yeah,
stuff.
I mean, it's craptacular. It really is. I mean, it's a terrible good movie.
Hey, there's gonna be another one
or
so
a good terrible movie.
Keep them coming.
There is a fast six.
Keep them coming.
I like the new twist. I just thought that part was dumb. Like they had to become like Ocean's 11.
Careful. I haven't seen Fast and Furious or Fast Five, so I'm too behind.
I'm not spoiling anything.
I think you can jump in at pretty much anywhere.
Okay, good, behind. Good. I was worried.
You don't need the full can.
But before we get to Seagal Watch, we do have to take care of one more thing.
Oh,
and that, of course, geez. Is
we've already
what's
done
happening.
Carney Wilson Watch.
That's what's, of course, happening on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, so sweet.
Grey's Anatomy creator Shonda Rhimes has suggested that she is not planning any more traumatic storylines for Callie and Arizona Robbins next season. Of course,
what's the point of watching?
They were the lesbian couple on the scene. In the recent season, the duo broke up and got back together after Callie became pregnant. The pair were also in a car accident, which prompted the premature birth of Callie's baby, and got married towards the end of the season. Rhimes has now suggested that they will have an easier time when Grey's Anatomy returns for its new season in September. She says,
is she related to Busta Rhymes?
She told the Deucecast, as we talked to them, I think they've earned the right for us to enjoy them as a couple and enjoy them as mothers. However, Shonda Rhimes added that viewers will also see the pair juggle what motherhood means to their relationship, their lives, and their jobs. Of course, find out what happens on Grey's Anatomy in September as it premieres on September 23rd. We will be there. The Deucecast will give you a weekly update on every episode of Grey's Anatomy, and that's your Grey's Anatomy Watch.
Wow. Thanks, Dave.
I mean, the viewers want it. I mean, what can I do? I don't even want to do it anymore. Yeah. But the listeners, they want it.
I'd prefer if it was Gross Anatomy with Matthew Modine.
And Daphne Nzuniga. Yes. Yeah. I'm getting flooded with emails, like constantly going, when's Grey's Anatomy Watch coming back? Just like Tone Loc Watch. Next week, Tone Loc Watch coming back, I promise. All right, Matt, I guess that leads us to one more piece of anatomy. That would be Steven Seagal's rippling muscles.
No, it's actually not about his muscles. This is actually about a beef that has begun.
Uh-oh.
As you guys know, Steven Seagal, Renaissance Man, as I call him, he is in his own TV series called Steven Seagal Lawman, and they're currently preparing their third season for The World. And at the TCAs this past week, if you guys don't know what the TCAs are, their cable press tour, they basically, all the networks will go over their, they'll bring out their actors for shows, they'll talk about the new details of the new seasons, do all this different stuff to show the press kind of like why you need to watch this show. Well, a new show was introduced, and I can't remember, I'm trying to see what the channel, like what network it's on. I don't even know if it has it, but it has a character. If you guys heard of this guy Butterbean.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Esch.
Yep.
He's,
yep.
He actually lives in Alabama, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Perhaps. He is having his own show where he is a deputy sheriff.
I mean, by all means.
Yes. He has been deputized by the Walker County Sheriff's
Office.
That's
Alabama.
Yep. And he and fellow deputy Adam Hatter are going to bust bad guys in their hometown of Jasper, Alabama.
Yeah.
So they of course, during this press tour, they were asked lots of questions. Their first question they were asked is, is this inspired by Steven Seagal, Lawman? And dude, they ripped Steven Seagal and Lawman apart.
Wow.
In this thing, they basically, talk about how Butterbean's much better than Seagal, and they talk about how that Butterbean's really from this town. Seagal wasn't really from New Orleans. Really, just like a big beef is brewing, guys, and it has begun this week.
Awesome. I can't just wait so you guys for the know. Crossover episodes.
Yep. Be prepared for Butterbean versus Seagal.
Well, I think for the Seagal of the week, we need to have another season of Steven Seagal Lawman up there so people can go buy it and determine for themselves why he's better.
I've already done.
Well, actually, I've already chosen one.
Okay,
and
good.
This is a direct-to-video release, 2005.
Aren't all of his?
I actually watched this movie very, very, very soon after I was married, and it was with my buddies. This movie is called Black Dawn. And this
not Black
is
Dog,
one.
Right?
This is a movie that features Steven Seagal. The character is Jonathan Cold, and this is a nuclear bomb
sort
threat
of like Mr.
in Los
Freeze.
Angeles. All right, here is the deal. This is why this movie is so good, guys. This movie marked, I believe, it was the very beginning of a period of movies where somehow Seagal had some issue with showing up for the ADR sessions. Which is the You know what ADR is? Where they record the voices.
ADR,
after.
Advanced Dining Reservations at Disney World. Yes.
Yes. It's basically where they go in after the fact, like after they've already shot scenes and redo dialogue. After the fact, like where the dialogue was bad or something was messed up with the mics or some sound was bad, they go and redo it and they overdub it. Tons of movies do it. In fact, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, he went back and recorded almost every bit of dialogue because his voice changed. But anyway, what happened here is Steven Seagal was not able to be at the ADR sessions. So his voice in the entire movie is actually done by some other guy.
Butterbeans.
No, it's not done by Butterbean. Oh, okay. It is terrible. The guy kind of sounds like Martin Sheen. So Seagal's voice the entire movie sounds like Martin
awesome.
Sheen.
That is
it
awesome,
is so
dude.
Crappy. It is so horrible. So
it's called Black Dawn. Is that right?
Black Dawn.
I didn't even know they made a sequel to Red Dawn. That's awesome.
Dawn Down. Is that
no Steel Dawn? You're thinking of Steel Dawn.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Black Dog.
It's that right. too. It's the it's like the Dawn trilogy.
Yeah, but this is a absolute classic. Just watch it once and laugh your butt off at the horrible voice.
Do you think Seagal? Do you think Seagal?
I can't believe
in,
they released it.
Do you
honestly.
Think he'll be in Breaking Dawn?
He could be.
Oh, awesome!
He could be. Yeah,
awesome.
I think he might be in Breaking Wind as well.
That's going to wrap it up.
Hi-oh.
Episode 18, the Podcast Towers. Of course, we're on Stitcher, we're on Ustream, we're on the Deucecast on Twitter and Facebook. So please come like us. Shoot us an email at info@thedeucecast.com. Next week, on next week's episode, of course, episode the 19th episode, we're working our way to 20 to 25, on to 50 and 100. We'll get there.
Yes.
Next week, our Big Three is going to take on the topic of our very favorite Big Three TV theme songs of all time.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, wow.
Plus, more and more and more of your favorite stuff. That's all going to be the Deucecast episode 19, the Podcast of the King. Till then, I am Dave saying goodbye. So long to Matt up in the Noog.
See you guys.
And that's going to say goodbye to Michael.
Yes, and you've just taken your weekly deuce with benefits.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. And may you stay forever young. May you stay forever young.
May you always know the truth and see the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous, stand upright and be strong. And may you stay forever young. And may you stay forever young. May your heart always be joyful. May your song always